the doctors who came from Gaza, they're talking about the unbelievable scenes that they have been witnessing in Gaza, the suffering that they have been witnessing in that region. How do you see the situation right now in that region?
The International Criminal or the International Court of Justice gave credence to the South African complaint that genocide was taking place. How do I see it? I concur. Genocide is taking place in Gaza. Genocide is a horrible concept, horrible term. So, of course, you're going to have horrible imagery. It's the ultimate expression of man's failure to man. This is why, the word means so much, and people tend to bristle when that word is overused or not used properly. But it's happening and nobody's doing anything to stop it. That's the sad fact, is that we see genocide taking place and we're doing nothing to stop it. So, how do I see this conflict? I think that answer I just gave you underscores the reality that Palestine has very little real support in the world today. The support that's given to Palestine is either heavily caveated or couched, or it's temporary in nature. But there's no real support for Palestine that's predicated upon a long-term vision of what the future of Palestine would look like as a, either a single-state solution or a two-state solution. Which means that the only people that at the end, the only people that the Palestinians can count upon is the Palestinians. And when they counted upon themselves in a nonviolent manner, you got October 6th and everything that came before that. When they opted to resist the Israeli occupation, you got October 7th and everything that came after that. And I think as long as there's a living, breathing Palestinian, they're going to be adopting, a policy part that a policy posture that puts a Palestinian state on the table. And that means there will be more violence because Hamas has no other choice but to win. Victory is not an option. And people can say, well, so many Palestinians have died. Look, the Palestinians are going to die anyways. They just right now are choosing not to make it inevitable that they die in a camp. They don't want to die as refugees in their own land. If they die, I think they'd rather die resisting the occupation and making an effort to make sure that as much of Gaza as possible becomes part of a Palestinian homeland.
What would be the final point for Netanyahu and his administration when they'll be satisfied with the outcome of their actions?
Benjamin Netanyahu is the prime minister of a far-right coalition. And he has allowed that coalition to be defined by a vision of a greater Israel that has no room for Palestine. He's also a politician that knows that his gambit to ensure that he couldn't be prosecuted for charges of corruption, it failed. And that the only way he can guarantee he won't be prosecuted is by serving as the prime minister. So everything Netanyahu does today is based upon the need to continue this war so that he can continue to justify the necessity of him being the prime minister so that he can avoid jail time. That's what's going on here. And that's what's driving this war. If you remove Netanyahu from the equation, I think this war ends today. He's the problem, not the solution. But he's not willing to step aside because for him, the consequences of stepping aside are terminal. He's not willing to do that.
When Chuck Schumer talking about we need new election in Israel, do you think he really means it, or he's just playing a political game for the domestic policy for what they're facing right now in 2024?
I think it's a combination of the two. I think the largest factor is it's done for domestic political purposes here in the United States. Netanyahu is widely unpopular right now in the United States. And so I think that's why Chuck Schumer, who is a fervent supporter of Israel, is making the statement he is right now.
Do you think still these people who are against Netanyahu, are they seeking the same policy in Gaza, in Rafah, or they're thinking differently?
When I was in Israel in 1998, when I first went to Israel in 1994, the assessments group in their top assessments to the threat to Israel listed Iraq as number one. After years of collaboration, we were able to assuage many of the Israeli concerns. By 1998, I believe that Iraq had dropped into number six on the list. Number one on the list was right-wing Israeli extremism. This is in 1998. They already recognized what was happening to Israel demographically and politically. When you allow hundreds of thousands of Jewish immigrants to come in from Ukraine, from Russia, from the former Soviet Union, and they are eligible to vote, then you change electoral politics, etc. Many of the Jews from Russia and Ukraine who came in didn't understand the Palestinians and resented the Palestinians and viewed them with hate. And that helped contribute to the creation of some of these far-right political parties that Netanyahu has turned to create, to create his coalition government.
There are two ideas on Israel and their policy. One says that the vast majority of Israelis are supporting these policies in Gaza. And the other idea would be, since Netanyahu and his administration were in power for so long, they have manufactured this type of policy. They have injected this point of view to the society. How do you see the role of Netanyahu in particular?
Look, Netanyahu was behind the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin in November 1995. He didn't order it, but he facilitated it. His rallies were designed to transform Rabin into a character that was hated by a certain class of Israelis, especially those extreme far-right, Zionist fanatics who started likening Yitzhak Rabin to Adolf Hitler, and the rabbis of these fanatics saying that people who betray Israel can be put to death. And so Netanyahu was there when these things were being said at his rally. He didn't stop it. And lo and behold, a guy who listened to this, talked to his rabbi, was told it's okay to kill, went and killed Yitzhak Rabin. And Netanyahu was there. Netanyahu was the prime minister when Israel flipped the script on its position regarding Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. Israel knew that they didn't have any weapons of mass destruction because I spent 4 years working with the Israelis to make sure that they knew that fact. And like I said, the Iraqi threat went from number one to number six. And yet, shortly after I left, Israel flipped it and started talking about Iraq having active nuclear weapons program. Netanyahu infamously briefed the U.S. Congress on that point. They talked about Iraq having chemical programs, biological programs, long-range ballistic missile programs, all in order to justify the invasion of Iraq in 2003 by the United States. This is the reality of the Netanyahu government. It's a warmongering government. It's a government that promotes a unique, disturbing vision of Israel, greater Israel. And it isn't just the Likud party, it's all of Israel. All of Israel has undergone a shift to the right, a shift to intolerance over the Palestinian people. There's not a very strong anti-war movement in Israel. There's not a very strong political opposition inside Israel. And so I think Netanyahu has, in fact, over the course of many decades, helped shape Israel to be where it is today, where it doesn't matter if you remove Netanyahu from power, the next Israeli government is going to carry out policies which are very similar because that's the Israeli way today. The vast majority of Israelis view him as the problem and they're willing to set him aside, but he is the problem. He personally is the problem, not the Likud party, not even the right-wing policies of these extremists. They've oversimplified this to be Benjamin Netanyahu is the problem. That if we have somebody who's not named Netanyahu, we can push forward. I don't think you're going to find Netanyahu being replaced by, and he will be replaced by, people who have a respectful attitude towards Palestinian people and the concept of a Palestinian state, people who have reduced the level of ignorance that Netanyahu has towards the West and towards Western democracies seek to interfere in the internal policies of Israel. I don't think you're going to see any change in that. I think this has become a very personalized conflict, and Netanyahu is being used as a scapegoat. Rightfully so. I mean, he is responsible for where Israel is today.